In the Fale is a music show on ABC Radio Australia, hosted by me, Paola Tukefu. I'll be spinning my favorite tunes from dancehall to disco, calypso to country, reggae to roots, and hip-hop to house music, from across the eras to keep the kids and the aunties happy. If it has a pumping groove, I'll be bringing it to you to bump you into the weekend.
Search up In the Fale to listen online or find it in the ABC Listen app.
This is an ABC podcast.
This is Neesh and Footy with Sam Wykes and Ginny Rao Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Nissan Bulavinaka, welcome everyone to Neesh and Footy Friday. My name is Sam Wykes and alongside me is my Cook Island Coey, Ginny Rao Arona, to talk about rugby league and rugby union from across the Pacific Sea. What a game.
What a game, you must what be a happy. Week. Which one, the men's or the women's?
Oh, all of it.
It is the week of everyone's the saying blue it's 4-0. It's the blue wash
4
week.
4-0 to New South Wales so far. How but, good.
You know, for us living here in Sydney, obviously we are New South Wales Blues fans, so apologies to all our Queenslanders out there, but what a week it was.
You're not sorry, mate.
No, I'm not sorry at all. Not sorry at all, but a huge week for our New South Wales Blues, taking game one in the men's on Wednesday night, and then also the women's winning the series. History makers, three games, wipeout, blue wash,
on blue rinse,
Thursday
clean
evening.
Sweep, whatever you want to call it.
But we will catch up with our expert, Sala Tongatuki, today to go through that game. And then we will be talking some rugby union for our rugby union fans. We have Namani Nondolo Kundrani joining us here from, where's he in the Pacific?
I don't know,
today?
We have to find out. It was Kiribati 1 week, it was Australia the week before, so
he might be, I reckon he's Fiji, but they have Super Rugby last round this week.
It is last round this week, round 16, and the Drua are in Brisbane playing, so I'm not sure if he's...
Oh, so he might be in Brisbane.
Well, that's where his family's from too, so he's probably got on the junket somehow to get on that plane.
Hey, just on Big Nems, he did send a photo on our WhatsApp group chat and said, we'll chat about that photo. What was that photo about? Oh, wait till Nems.
So the person in the photo is wearing some boots, and someone forgot their boots in Fiji when he was on that Pacific Sports Show trip over there. And someone in the hotel picked them up and is still wearing them now 2 years later. So that someone is me.
Okay. We'll
but I'll let Nems give you the story on how that man got my boots.
And then we'll cover round 13, a bit of a preview on our games, upcoming games this weekend. Super Rugby, last round, show full of action, rugby league, rugby union. Let's rip in.
Well, everyone, this is Kevin Angama from the Fiji Bati, and you're listening to Neesh and Footy.
All right, T, we're going to kick it off with the Origin results. How good's that? And I know we have a lot of our bosses in Brisbane, Queensland supporters. You talk about WhatsApp group chats going off. I thought...
Well, they got out to a good lead at the start of the game, didn't they?
First, when did they score, Queensland? How long into the game? It was early.
It was very early. Rob Toya that scored the first try.
Nice little grubber. And yeah, one of the bosses, Queenslander,
yes.
Straight away. It's like, ooh, she's gone early here.
Before we get to the game, where did you watch it and what was your atmosphere like?
I just watched it at home. I like to watch things in peace. Like, I'm not really a person that likes to go to to the pub or actually even live to a game. I just like to watch it at home in peace. And yeah, I was all for it.
Well, I watched it in my lounge room. We did have tickets to the game, but I gave it to my parents. And luckily I did, because it was...
You didn't give it to Toops?
It was raining. No, I didn't give it to Toops. My mum and dad, they actually took a photo with Toops before the game, Tupou Supawanga, and I realised that Tupou also manages or is a player agent for Brendan Nicora, who made his debut for the Queensland Maroons. And I was like, sorry, bro, I forgot that.
And he hit you up, bro. Can you get me some Origin tickets?
But one of my sons was sick, and I'm like, you know what? Let's just watch it from home.
Yep.
And I can tell you, there was an emotional roller coaster where we're pretty much just screaming for 80 minutes. My sons were up, we're kicking off. He was throwing stuff at the TV early in the in the game. And then by the end of it, we were just cheering, hugging each other, yelling, screaming.
Are there any lessons out of that that you teach your kids around, you know, just staying calm?
Nah, not state of origin.
Not state of origin? That goes out the window. All the lessons go out the window. You ride the emotions.
My wife walked in, and it was at the point where Kalen Ponga, he got sent off. And I was sitting on the floor, and then she looked at me. She goes, "Why do you look so stressed?" I was like, "Do I?" I just. She goes, "It's only a game." I go, "Babe, it's not just a game. Only a game. It's Origin." But anyway, let's get to the game. So the New South Wales Blues, they win 22-20. Queenslanders get out to a great start. Look, there was great game flow. I thought the ref done awesome at the start of the game. Yeah, barely any penalties or infringements. And the New South Wales Blues, just some unforced errors hurt them. You know, I know Stephen Crichton made a couple, and then Brian Toto made a couple. Coming out of yardage, it's probably the worst place to do a mistake. And
what do you put that down to, T? Obviously, this season, very experienced campaigners when it comes to playing on the big stage. So I know it was wet. I know it was a great atmosphere, but I just feel like, well, why would that happen with those type of players?
I would have to say Queensland's intensity in their line speed and just smothering the New South Wales Blues attackers, that would have had to play a role.
Okay.
And also where they're running. If you look at the outside backs, the game plan looked like they were just going to the middle and staying there. So they weren't actually opening up the field. As a Queenslander, you're probably thinking, beautiful, let's just tighten up.
You could throw a blanket on their attack. Well,
they're not going to run around us. They're just trying to come through and fatigue our middle. And as they're getting up, they're trying to get a quick play of the ball, but the ball just came out the hands in these moments. And they are unforced errors, and they're the ones that hurt, especially as a middle having to do so much defense, back-to-back defense in that area. Another thing that caught my eye at the start of the game, the biggest man in the New South Wales Blues team, Haumole Olakau'atu, he doesn't touch the ball for the first 10, 15 minutes. Like, he done some great defensive efforts where
they put the
two kick chases and he made those tackles. But you want to get the ball to your big men. And another reason why I thought the Blues game plan coming out of yardage was to try and get to the middle, get through the set and just kick long.
So they've had 10 days to prepare for this game. And when you think about that, the biggest man on the right edge, you want to get to him. He's been killing it at club footy since Kieran Foran's taken over. It seems like he's unlocked his true potential. Like, do you think that, are they not talking about how do we get Haumole into the game?
I can guarantee you one thing. Game two, we will be seeing Haumole get more ball.
Okay, so yeah, fair enough.
Because either he was waiting for the ball to come to him, where Haumole needs to go and get the ball. Like, just go find the ball.
Regardless,
get off the edge, go find the ball. If the game plan doesn't suit Haumole where the ball's going to come to him, he goes, gets the ball.
How would you get him into the game?
His first carry, when he touched the ball, he runs straight over Cam Munster.
Yeah.
Puts him on his back. I think it was Cam Munster. And he just isolated him. But that was just off a wide pass, early ball to Haumole. And it gets away from those tighter defenders in the middle. And he gets to isolate that third man. And what it does, yes, he bumps him off, puts him on his back. But it generates a fast play the ball. So then the next play the ball is an easier carry. Yep. Just early in those games, they needed probably just that one carry to get them on the front foot. Because of the amount of defense that the middles were doing, guys like Adam Fennell-Blake, Mitch Barnett, you could see that they were getting tired. And that led to, you know, conceding 20 points. I know a couple of them were off kicks, but the one where Tom Flegler scores under the post, you can see the fatigue in the middle. Like, them spaces shouldn't be there. Now, in the middle of the game, there was a moment where I thought Ethan Strange puts on a massive shot on Cam Munster, and that just shifted that kind of energy for the Blues, injected a bit of energy to the Blues. You also had Cam Murray and Victor Radley coming off the bench. They sort of tightened everything up, and they came with a bit more intensity in defense. Just gave a bit of hope for the Blues to come back from a 20-0 deficit.
I reckon on that bit of hope you're talking about, I always feel that doesn't matter if it's rugby league or rugby union, if you score on half time and you'll come from behind, I always feel like that gives a massive boost to your confidence going into the sheds. Knowing if you score just before half time. I think that's a big one. Like 20-0 difference, but then you go 26, there's always that bit of hope. Was like, okay, we're all good here.
So they go 20-0, and then they end up scoring a try through Hudson Young,
yep,
off a Nathan Cleary kick. And then there was another.
How good was that kick, by the way? Just a nice no-looker.
Nice little touch there.
Boom, off the edge of his foot. Oh, well, that's
Walker,
class.
Sam Walker done the first one for Rob Sawyer, yeah, and then it was like Nathan Cleary was like, oh, this is
okay,
how you do it.
Yeah, this is how you do
this
it.
This is how you do it as well. I still got that tool in my bag as well. And then there was another moment where Cam Murray, he chases the ball. There's another kick into the in-goals. He chases the ball. Kurt Capewell comes in front of him. That competing for the ball. What I've seen, that competing. Yep. It goes up to the bunker. The bunker says that Cam Murray had hands on Kurt Capewell, so he denies the try. I thought it was a try, but that would have meant that they go into halftime 20 points to 12. Now, there was the big moment in the second half where Tolukola makes a break. Kalen Ponga comes across, tucks his shoulder in, and there was head contact, but it was also a shoulder charge. He did have a lot of time to readjust his tackle technique, but he goes in with his left shoulder. He should have tackled with his right shoulder.
Yep.
Kalen Ponga has done this previously in other tackles like Latrell Mitchell. Same technique. Do I think it's a send-off? Actually, I'll ask you, do you think it's a send-off?
I would have been happy with either. Like, in a sense that, like, if you only gave him 10 for the purpose of the game, and to allow him to come back on, all good.
Yeah.
But in this day and age, yeah, 100% it's a send-off. Because we've seen stuff that probably was less than that got a send-off.
Yeah.
But it makes contact to the head. And you're right, like that action of the tackle technique probably warrants a send-off.
Yeah, and there was head-to-head contact, but Tolukola also gets concussed and he's out for the game as well. So we lose our winger. And, you know, it was a big moment. The ref made his call. The thing that caught my eye and probably caught a few others' eye was that when he was discussing this with the bunker, he overruled the bunker's decision because what we could hear was that the bunker was like tried to say, you know, it probably doesn't warrant a
send-off.
Now, we rewind the clock back to...
Is that because Dollar was falling as well?
Falling, both falling at the same time. It was at different camera angles. It was head-to-head contact. You know, there was a bit of shoulder to the head, but for whatever reason,
yeah, okay,
the bunker had his view. The ref had a different view. You go back to Cam Murray's incident. It should have been a try.
Yeah.
It could have been a try. Bunker rules no try. Ref would have potentially thought that was a try.
Yep.
There was another moment in the game. I think it was when Queensland challenged. The bunker said that is enough to reward a penalty for high contact. Now, I'm thinking in those two moments, the ref's like, man, this bunker's making decisions against my view as well. And he's just made his view on Kalen Ponga and said, no, this will be my call, my game,
my decision.
So that was 23 minutes to go in the game. That New South Wales Blues down 20-6. And then they just fight back, scoring three tries in the last 23 minutes. Ethan Strange off a nice arm. Stephen Crichton makes the break, draws in two defenders, and then Ethan Strange pops it up for Ethan Strange. He jumps over the defender, scores a try. Nathan Cleary, he scores underneath the post, and then the final play where James Tedesco pops it in the air. Nathan Cleary pops it in the air. James Tedesco chases, jumps over the hammer to come down with the ball to score the winning try.
You know what I love about that try as well is the fact that you have moments in the game where it doesn't always go your way. Like James Tedesco probably had a chance to ice the game a bit earlier when they had that four-man overlap, and yep, he throws a horrendous pass to Oluquatu at his feet. He could have rented it himself, but to be able to flush that and go to Cleary, put it up for me,
mm-hmm,
and then ice the game like that's a true sign of a champion where you can have moments in the game where it doesn't go your way, flush, and then be able to come up trumps.
I have to give a shout out to Casey McLean as well.
Oh,
yeah, the young.
What about his take?
He's just turned 20 years old. Tolukola goes down, goes to HIA. Casey McLean comes on. He sat on the bench for 60 minutes. or close to 60 minutes. He comes on, imagine the biggest game of your life, State of Origin, game one.
Didn't even look phased.
They're behind 18. They're behind 14 points, and he just attacked again. You know, there was two crucial catches where if he drops that, Blues don't get those opportunities.
His debut, that's not a fluke in a way where he owned that game, even though his age. Like, he was at Newington at a rugby union school here in Sydney. Some of the sessions the boys will talk about him doing by himself, like these running sessions, I was like, nah, no way, bro. Like, it just seems like that's ridiculous, the amount of Ks or like the Broncos that he'll do back to back to back.
Yeah.
I was like, nah, you're not doing that at like 16, 17 years of age. But the boys are like, nah, trust me, that like his work ethic is relentless. And that's why we're probably seeing a guy that just comes in and just owns it straight away.
A lot, like his future is very bright. You look at Stephen Crichton when he came through the scene at the same age as well, very similar looks. And what I love about this kid, Casey McLean as well, he's a St. Clair Comets junior. So well done to him and congratulations on his debut. But yeah.
All in all.
Nathan Cleary kicks the final goal, 22-20. They get the game. I think.
What are the changes or what's happening in game two?
My final thoughts on game one, Blues didn't play their best in the first half. Still got the job done. If Kalen Ponga doesn't get sent off, they probably don't win that one.
Okay.
So there's plenty of improvement needed for game two. But what they can do is be able to review where they need to improve. And game two, they come out firing.
One change you would make? Or?
Well, if Payne Haas comes back, if Latrell Mitchell comes back, that's going to add a lot of strike power. That will be dangerous. And changes, I would just change the yardage attack. Don't make it easy for Queensland when you're just trying to go through the middle. Yes, if it's wet, you can still play with a bit of width. You know, right, like what? And
Queensland did that, didn't they? It was wet and they still were able to get it late offloads and play with that width and chance their arm and come up with points.
So Queensland would kick into New South Wales Blues left corner. Bizza would come round. Tolukola would come round. He would come bring it to the middle. And then Stephen Crichton would stay down that short side. And Bizza would come from the long side wing, the right side, to come in. Now, I would say hold your shape, Bizza. Hold your shape to the right center, which was Katoni Staggs.
Staggs.
And let James Tedesco bring it around for you. And Stephen Crichton come around. So you're actually moving the ruck and flowing to one side instead of just going to the middle and making it easy for those middle and trying to stay there. Play with a bit of width. Doesn't mean pass, pass, pass.
Yep.
It just means run and move that defensive line. Well, that's me. My coach is
now. Nah, I like it, mate. I like it. Great insights. And we still have
Sala. We'll have Sala Tongatuki.
There we go.
Up very shortly to cover the women's Origin game. Now round 13. Some plenty more footy to go this weekend. We have this evening the Sharkies taking on Manly in Cronulla, Sydney. That will be a huge game. No Tolukola from the head concussion. Be interesting to see if Haumole Olakau'atu backs up. I know that he was cramping bad during that New South Wales Blues game, but a big one to look forward to. The Knights versus Eels on Saturday, Tigers versus Dogs, and Storm versus the Roosters. Down in Melbourne will be a good game to watch as well. And on Sunday, we have the Broncos taking on the Dragons in Brisbane. The Raiders taking on the Cowboys and the Panthers versus Warriors. Wow.
That's the game of the round.
Sydney,
that one.
And I think that will be a huge game for both supporters because we know here in Western Sydney that there are a lot of Warriors fans as well, including my brother. But remember, you can hear every NRL game live on ABC Radio Australia. Sammy, there is some rugby league news. Connor Watson, there's some strong news coming out of the PNG camp that he has reportedly joined the Chiefs for 2028. But we will, once that's confirmed, we'll make sure we air it here on Nijan Footy.
I'll hit him up, actually. We're close now.
Oh, yeah? Give him a message. Ask
me
him.
Me and Connor.
Speaking of the PNG Chiefs, Reece Martin. Reece Martin's played in the NRL. He's done a big stint over in the Super League with Hull KR and Leeds Rhinos. He's one of the most... I think he's the most...
scorer.
No, he's the most capped Kumu.
Oh, okay. Highest point scorer as well?
And he would be with...
He'd have to. He's a sharpshooter.
He's got a golden boot. He can kick a goal.
Yep.
But Reece Martin, he has announced his retirement from professional rugby league, and he will be joining the PNG operations staff as the footy manager.
I mean, the Chiefs are going to be ready before the Bears. Bring the Chiefs in next year. Put the Bears to 2028. Give them another 12 months to sort it out.
You know what I love about Reece Martin is that he is a great human, and he's a very passionate man of PNG. But what I love about Reece Martin is that he will be able to connect the people of PNG, the players there, and the cultures, and gel them all in as one. I spoke to Reece. It was funny about this one because Reece Martin, I only heard about this one today, about the news there, him taking on the footy manager role. I spoke to him it was 2 years in PNG where we went there for the Pacific Champs. Was that last year or 2 years ago?
Yeah, it's going so far. I think it was actually 2 years ago.
Might have been last year, end of last year.
Oh, did you go by yourself?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
End of last year, I went to PNG to watch the Pac Champs and ran into Reece Martin. And we got talking about the PNG Chiefs. I said, I think you would be the perfect guy to...
So you're claiming that you plan to
get
the
a role here, 100%.
Yeah, nice.
To get a role with the Chiefs. And it would be a huge opportunity when you do finish playing rugby league because of your ties to PNG, because you're a very passionate kumu, highest capped kumu, and also just a great human being. I think you should look into it. So... Well done, Reece Martin. And just finally, Sione Katoa, the Tongan fisherman, the winger for the Cronulla Sharks. He has signed with the North Queensland Cowboys for next season, and he'll be joining his teammate, Jesse Ramien, as well. So Cowboys with the addition of Sione Katoa and Jesse Ramien.
A big signing there for the Cows. Big signing, T, and massive week of rugby league news.
Yes.
Man, take a breath, son.
We've got a few more minutes to go for rugby union, then we'll get to summer.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, let's get over to rugby union.
Tala Falava, it's Miracle Falangi here, and I'm listening to Nijan Footy.
Yes, T, we have rugby union and Miracle Failangi. I'm still hoping for that miracle to save Moana Pacifica. It just doesn't look like it's happening, T, because the news this week where Moana Pacifica has now gone into liquidation, and liquidation meaning that the owners have decided they can no longer fund the team.
So Moana Pacifica, they're not in Super Rugby next year. Liquidation means that the owners... So they'll still play this weekend.
They'll still play this week, but
the players aren't getting paid.
So everything that, I guess, assets and salaries, that, like this is where they go, oh, we need people to come in and have a look at our situation because we can't afford to pay them anymore. That was going to happen. But so the New Zealand Rugby Union came in and stepped in for this week to cover all the costs.
So the business of Moana Pacifica,
yes, the business side of things, yep,
bankrupt.
Yep.
And then New Zealand Rugby Union.
I wish it was New Zealand Rugby League. Saving
now,
as well.
Is now covering the cost of all the operations, all the players' wages.
Yep.
For this month or this round?
This week, and I believe that they're going to pay him up until might be the end of June.
Just on this, were there boys that were contracted
beyond
for salaries for next season?
Yeah, Laumape.
Yep.
Nani Lamape,
he signed a two-year deal.
Here's a two-year deal. Ari Savea was supposed to come back to Moana for next year after his sabbatical in Japan.
So what does it mean for their contracts?
I actually don't know what that looks like. I know New Zealand Rugby Union will cover the bulk of, say, someone like Ari because he's playing for the All Blacks. But someone like Lamape, you know, he's playing for Tonga. I know he's an ex-All Black. He's not in contention to play for the All Blacks. So there's no need for them from a business side of things to top up his deal or pay him out. So I don't know what.
But he's got a signed agreement.
Because it's private ownership, there's obviously terms and conditions in those contracts to probably say, well, that's what it is when you go under private ownership. Whereas the difference in rugby league, when the game is, say, the NRL holds the licenses and they get a broadcast deal, like those contracts are guaranteed. But when you go under private ownership, they're not guaranteed. If the owners want to pull out, they can pull out, and you're just left in the dark there for a little bit.
Does that mean there's no salary cap for union then?
There is a cap, but I don't even think there's enough money anyway.
No one reaches
they can't
the cap.
They can't even reach the cap.
They don't even talk about a cap because it's not even worth mentioning.
Exactly. But it is sad news, and it just seems that all but certain that this game against the Brumbies on Saturday afternoon will be their last ever game in Super Rugby.
You're going to that one, eh?
Yes, I'll be there. And just on that, I know you always say, remember, you can hear every game live on ABC Radio Australia. You say it more often than not. But this time on ABC, if you're in Tonga, Fiji, Samoa, and the Cook Islands, the beloved Cooks, and love your rugby, you can catch myself and Declan on ABC Radio Australia, because we'll be broadcasting on radio there, and you get to hear us. So
that's perfect. Awesome, bro. Thanks for the invite.
Oh, sorry, man.
Must be nice. Oh.
But yeah, what value would you add with rugby?
I just want to come and sit in the box with Moana's last game.
Do you want to jump in the car with us? We're driving down.
Absolutely not. Yeah. Are you driving?
Yeah, we're driving.
Damn, now, budget must be tight.
It is tight. It's gone to Declan's salary for this game. But look, it will be most likely their last game. And I did hear that New Zealand Rugby Union are keen to keep Moana Pacifica's brand alive. What that means, I don't really know, except are they going to keep them in NPC, so the provincial one under Super Rugby? Is there still an avenue for them to play in that competition? We'll soon find out after Super Rugby season finishes. This is round 16. The Drua, we'll move on to the Drua now. They're going to play against the Reds in their final game, and we'll have Nems to talk about that game. But another big game is the Crusaders versus the Hurricanes. Hurricanes have secured top spot and have rested a fair few stars. The Crusaders are 3-from-3 at their new home ground. And T, have you ever been in a team where I don't know how to sort of explain it, but Crusaders are big on legacy.
Mm-hmm.
So when they start something, there's this thing around, okay, how do we leave a legacy here? So when someone comes in, they're stepping into the shoes and continuing that legacy. And I know that they've moved a couple of times for their grounds. It's always like, this is a start to be able to like go on a run here and keep this legacy alive. Robbie Deans, who was an ex-coach of the Crusaders, he brought that into Japan. And for the Panasonic Wild Knights team, we went on a run, or I was part of the last bit of it, 49 in a row at their home ground. They only played there like once or twice a year. And on the 50th one, I started in that game. We lost.
Oh.
So I broke the legacy. He was filthy. But it seems like the Crusaders are doing that now. Have you ever had anything like that before?
Like a legacy, a run. Can I say the same for losses, though?
Because I've been a part of that.
Yeah, lost a few games in a row.
This is our 100th loss in a row at our home ground.
Look, I think the only experience that I have from that is when I was at the St. Clair Comets as a junior and we won multiple competitions in a row.
In a row. There you go. Yeah. So the Crusaders, when they went on a run to win 7 in a row,
yeah,
like that's talked about that legacy.
Same as Eden Park for New Zealand All Blacks.
Very true as well. Yeah.
Haven't lost the game in forever.
Since 1986,
yeah,
I believe it was.
At Eden Park.
And now that the Crusaders are going to go back to back, or as in they're going after back to back champs, they are the champs from last year. Their head coach, Rob Penny, has decided to retire from rugby. So I know full well that that's probably like the emotional, I guess, trigger that they would like to have to be able to go into the final series. They're going to probably lock in 4th spot, and they're going to be very hard to beat. I feel like they're going to go up against the Hurricanes. So yeah, I think a lot to play for in this last round for Super Rugby, and I do believe that the Crusaders will be the ones that challenge I said it last week, I feel like the Crusaders and Hurricanes will go into the grand final.
We'll do a review on Monday, but just quickly on the Moana and the Drua. Is it everything that you've expected this season, or Bit of a disappointment.
No, I guess 100% no, because I went into this season for Super Rugby, especially for the draw, with a lot of optimism just around some of the signings that they had, some more experience that they had. I thought that the lessons from last year around getting the balance right between you know, the cultural side of things and the high performance side of things, there was a good balance there to be able to get the performances that they were looking for, and that didn't really come. And then obviously with the news that Moana Pacifica, like, they're not going to be in the competition anymore.
If Moana won games, would they be in the competition?
That's a very, very good question, because I reckon they would be. They would have found a way to find money. And I feel like if Artie was still here and didn't go on his sabbatical, I reckon the Moana Pacifica is still here.
It also shows how special last year was and how much Artie meant to the team. But how successful, like, did they over-succeed last year?
Yeah, I reckon they probably did overachieve in that sense.
So then this year we probably had very high hopes that they would do something similar or thereabouts.
High hopes from, I reckon, from a surface level. But deep down, knowing that Artie wasn't going to be there, I reckon it would have been, how's this going to, how are they going to react to this?
Did they lose any other big players other than Artie?
Well, they lost some key players that helped him, I guess, beat Artie. You know, like the Anisi brothers, Lotu Anisi and Finney Anisi. Those guys were massive.
Because it's hard to believe that one person would.
I know, but if you look at their performances and the way he changed the game in those games last year,
the moments he had
changed the momentum of that game.
Similar to compare it to New South Wales Blues this week. If Nathan Cleary doesn't play, they most likely don't.
Probably
win
not.
The game.
Like, it's just something about
just
their
those
aura.
Moments. The 40-20, the. Yeah, the try assist, yeah. Just those moments, Artie owned those moments.
He owned those moments. And you know what it's like, our Pacific Islander people will follow players. Artie plays in this competition this year. The crowds start to come because they want to go see Artie. And he is the man of the people. So I think, I reckon they would have stayed in the competition if he was here, and they'll win in a few more games.
Nice. Well, we will catch up with Salatonga Tuki right now, and then we'll catch up with more rugby with Nemani Kudandrani.
The Rugby League Preview.
Now comes the way to the right edge. Tonga Tuki!
With Sala Tonga Tuki.
Yes, we are blessed with her presence once again on a lovely Friday afternoon. Sala Tonga Tuki, she represents the West Tigers, the New South Wales Blues. She's played for the Fetu Samoa and also the Jillaroos. Sala, the blue wash, it's completed. 3 from 3
Thank
for
you.
The women. History made. How are you feeling?
Nah, so stoked for the girls. I know that this is something that we've been chasing since last year, and they finally got the job done. So yes, I'm so happy for them.
How was the group chat with all the girls? Congratulating one another. What was the energy like?
Yeah, it was off. It was going off its head. Even the girls that obviously partied hard last night. They got up to a lot of fun, but. The chat was going off. We're just super happy for them.
Just for you, you're not being selected in playing on the field, but you're being part of the squad. How does winning the competition, watching the girls win, how does that make you feel emotionally? Does it give you that bit more of a drive and motivation to go, man, I want to be on that field?
Yes and no. I've obviously been loving my preseason. I am where I am. I'm meant to be. But I was just so happy for them when I saw the shield get lifted. That's, obviously to get back to back as well. I was there last year and we didn't get the job done. We wanted the clean sweep then. But, I felt like the girls had got the redemption that for us girls that couldn't be a part of it this year. I just couldn't be any more happier for them. But, if it's God's plan next year that we're in that squad, obviously that comes off the back of your NRW season this year. So hopefully all goes well. One thing at a time for me.
Love that.
I want to go back to the celebrations for a second. The trend in the men's game, if they're winning a big game, they stay in their playing gear for sometimes 2 days. Ben Talmefuno, who is playing in France, I think it's day 4 for him. he's still in his jersey and his shorts. What's it like in the women's game? Do they do the same type of thing?
No, I think a lot of the girls...
Just a straight no, we shower.
Yeah, we shower. Honestly, I think the Queensland girls do. I remember Chelsea Lenarduzzi, like, she stayed in it. Obviously, when they last won it, she stayed in it from the morning. I don't know if she even showered the next day, but... the girls, they love to go out and enjoy a bit of their drinks, dry, clean clothes, just feeling fresh, especially when the last couple of Origin games have been in, like, wet, dewy, rain-like condition weather. So, yeah, definitely.
You didn't explain yourself. You just could have said, yeah, no, we like to shower. You could have left it at that.
I have to give a big shout out to one of the OGs, Dylan Napa, who started that trend. I remember when they won the... He won the competition for the Sydney Roosters. He was still partying in the city the next day.
That's right.
With
his boots? Was he boots on?
Socks, shorts, jersey, everything. And then from there, everyone started. So, shout out to the great man, Dylan Upper. Talk us through the game. Salah, what impressed you from this performance on Thursday night from the New South Wales Blues women's team?
I thought the scoreline reflected the game. Like, it wasn't a blowout, like, by any means, but I feel like New South Wales, like, they capitalised on their opportunities better than Queensland did. Even though that Queensland had their moments, I just felt like, yeah, they definitely stayed in a fight, but Blues were just so good. Like, they have good, like, fulfilled position. They were able to turn those opportunities into points. So, yeah, I probably thought Queensland also looked their best, most dangerous when they went through the middle, like, just direct. I touched on this last game, like, in wet weather footy, you don't want to be playing too sideways. I feel like when they did run hard and direct, they pretty much challenged New South Wales.
Which player for the Queensland women's team stood out for you?
Shante Kiriaratu. I just felt like her kicking game is what kept Queensland in contests with the Blues. But even just, I think it's on a highlight now, is her tackle, her hit on, who was it?
Was it Jess Surges?
Kelleher. No, on Kelleher.
Kelleher, yeah.
Yeah,
that was a massive hit. Huge.
It was a massive hit. Like, she actually, like, stepped in and, like, got her... down. It was a real, it was on a highlight reel now. But, yeah, I felt like she was a game changer. She was just challenging Blues. And, yeah, I reckon if Queensland, some of the girls got on top of that with her, they probably would have come back because the score wasn't that far off.
There were some huge hits. And I have to say again, congratulations to both teams. I thought that the level of rugby league played in the women's State of Origin games have been unreal, but you've got to take into consideration that these girls also haven't even started their NRLW season. So they've all prepared well. You know, they've played three games before the season even kicks off, and I think it sets them up with a great NRLW season
100%.
For 2026.
As players, we know, like, just from a, like, female's perspective, like, we know what goes into an Origin campaign behind the scenes. Like, obviously the camps, the sacrifices, but I feel like it's for even some of the mums, their time away from their little families and that. That's probably the hard work that no one sees. So I feel that's why moments like last night are so special and why those girls should really enjoy every second of it. Yeah, it was really nice to see.
Round 13 NRL this weekend, the big game this weekend, Panthers versus the Warriors on Sunday. This game is played in Parramatta, Western Sydney, Australia. Who wins, Panthers or Warriors, and why?
Oh, this is a tough one for me. I actually think this game's obviously going to come down to two takes opportunities. But especially because they're both the top two teams, you don't usually get many chances to create. So I'm probably going to tip the Waz. but they've got their full complete team from, obviously without Mitch Barnett. I don't think, it'd be a surprise if Penrith win though as well. But I'm going the Waz.
Oh, the Warriors, you heard it here from Salah Tongatuki. Thank you again, Salah, for joining us every Friday. And have a great week in training, and we'll catch you again next Friday on Nijan Footy.
Later, Salah.
Thanks. Thanks, boys. I'll see you then.
Up the Blues.
Latest.
Go the Blues.
The Rugby Union Preview.
Interception by Big Nemani.
With Nemani Kurindrani.
Io dolovina to our big man, Nemani Nandolo Kurindrani. Here he is with us. No polo shirt today, Brass. How good?
Yeah, well, it's a public holiday today, actually. I didn't know that public holidays exist in my line of work, but taking the day off, I'm currently on the Coral Coast. And I'm going to head up to the village. So I'm going to do the cultural stuff today, and there's a piece of land I might have a look at later.
you're good, mate. Here he is.
Oh, I'm joking, boys. I'm pulling your legs. I'm in the village today, boys.
Hey,
I've had to come to the car to get reception.
I mentioned a little earlier about the photo you sent on our WhatsApp chat. Can you talk us through what this photo was? Sammy said or something about the boots.
Something about the boots.
So the story that, mate,
two years ago.
Legend stories. Yeah. So we, as you know, Sammy and I are giving back to the community here in Fiji and just doing our part, just being good people. Anyway, Sammy's, we were in the mud or something, and Sammy had boots, ASICS boots. Anyway, he's forgotten some and he's calling me up. Oi, Brass, my boots, man, my boots. And I was like, Brass. Anyway, I was like, yeah, I'll look for them. But 10 minutes before that phone call, one of the guys that used to work at Crown Plaza said, oh, there's some boots. And I was like, oh, shit, just take them. This is before Whitey's called me. Anyway, Whitey's, I was like, oh, no, we'll find him. I was like, oh, Brass, they're gone. Anyway, he didn't care about the boots or orthotics in them. Anyway, fast forward 2 years. I'm here having lunch at the hotel with my family, and one of the guys comes up to me and goes, oh, Money Bulla Vala, how are you? Good, good. He's like, oh, man, just want to say thank you. My son's boots, he's been wearing it. And I'm like, what? He's like, oh, you remember you gave my son some boots? And I was like, nah, I don't. I said, really? I said, oh, yeah, maybe. And he goes, no, because I used to work at Crown Plaza. As soon as he said Crown Plaza, I clicked. I said, why'd you left his boots? Anyway, showed me a photo. And which I showed you, boys, and that was him wearing it. So probably gone through 5 or 6 players before he'd gone to his son, but thankfully still wears it, and he's got the most expensive feet in the whole of Fiji, from what I've been told, those orthotics.
And because of those orthotics, they've made him 10 times slower.
Nah, I was cracking up. I left him in there because we did that at the Lotoka Maroons. We did that little clinic there, and then obviously it was muddy, so I wore boots. You went barefoot, so I probably should have gone barefoot. But, yeah, I forgot them in the hotel. Yeah, I didn't care about the boots, mate. I have them, but it was just my orthotics. So I was like, oh, man. But I don't even know why I need orthotics anyway, because I'm not even playing anymore, but they are expensive orthotics. But all good. They've molded to our friend's feet there, so happy days for him. He'll be probably the world's best player after wearing my boots.
And that photo, that kid that was wearing it, he was 12 years old. So,
I thought he was in the Skipper Cup, mate. He was massive. But anyway, let's get to some Super Rugby. It is the last round of Super Rugby Pacific. Unfortunately, the drawer won't be playing past this round with a lot of high expectation. Firstly, your thoughts, you know, just as the season, from the expectations from right at the start to... Yeah, obviously, probably not getting to the goal that the boys would have liked to. How do you sum it up?
I think we're probably didn't live up to our potential. For whatever reasons, you know, we could speak about it all day. Yeah, I don't think we lived up to our potential as a squad this year. And you got to take your hat off to the coaches who'd worked tirelessly hard. And you can't put a blame on anything. I think it's a team effort. And as a squad, I think we probably, there were games we should have won. Definitely should have won, and we didn't win. And then there's games where, you know, results didn't go our way. So now we're five years in. Positives out of that is that, you know, another year to get better. On the flip side, obviously coaches moving on. That's going to be the biggest, for me personally, coming into a professional environment, what the environment's going to look like, obviously with new coaches coming in, that's going to be very interesting. But, you know, I think all in all, we've got players moving on. There's going to be a lot of moving pieces before the new season starts. It is what it is, right? It's rugby. You know, we just got to look forward to next year, I guess. Obviously, tonight, get through this 80 minutes, and I hope the 23 that play tonight can just put in a performance where they can, yes, we can't make the finals, but, you know, as that old saying goes, right, it's you're as good as your last game.
Yeah, I've been involved in those games where you don't play the finals, probably most of my career.
Yeah, same.
But winning that last game is just changes the energy for the and yeah. kind of makes you feel better going into the preseason and the off-season. We spoke about it on Monday about the new coach, and Sammy asked me what type of coach do you think is needed. What type of coach do you think is needed for the 2027 season?
Look, I think if I was to pick a coach, if I was the CEO and I was one of the coaches, I think the first and foremost would be around the like. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying we did it this year or we didn't do it this year. I just think if we're going to bring a coach in, they need to know the culture. They need to know how our people work and how they are. I'm not saying the current coaches did that. They've done a great job in what they could do, you know, because ultimately it comes down to the players. And I've been able to see that firsthand. But I think if you're going to get a coach, if he's not a local coach, I think you're going to need a buy into the culture, buy into what clicks. And, you know, that's the homework for the coach. Like, we always talk about Dave Rennie and what he did to the Wallabies and what he does at the Chiefs. We've got to have that sort of mentality as a coach coming into this organization, because the talent's there. Like, I don't know the solution. Just finding what ticks, what makes the boys go and what makes the boys tick. So the coach that comes in got a lot of work on his hands, because when you come here, coaches are coming as mentors. They are mentors, but you're also teaching them how to be professionals as well. Because we've got to remember, we've only been a professional sport here in this country for the last 5 years. So we are what professional rugby was in 96 when it came there. You know, it's new. We're still getting used to it. But I just think, yeah, if the coach is going to come in, has to buy in to the way of life here in Fiji and then work with that. Yeah. You get what I'm saying? You can't bring what you do in Australia, New Zealand and England and France and here and be like, yep, this is going to work. I would love to see a prominent local or a Fijian coach come in, someone like a Ceremai Mbai or a Joe Rokozoko, you know, where the players can be like, oh, yeah, I looked up to these guys. I wanted to be these guys. And these guys are doing really well in what they're doing now in coaching. I would say bring in a local coach or a Fijian Itauke, have that in the ranks and see that. And again, at the moment, you know, it's hard. There's not many good, highly ranked coaches in terms of Itaukes or indigenous Fijians. And, you know, that's how I would do it. I would bring in some within that coaching stuff where guys can relate to as well. Do you know what I'm saying?
Having someone like that as a head coach and then surrounding them with really good assistant
support
coaches,
staff, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't see why you don't throw your own name in the hat and then put Sammy as your assistant and then you just go.
Nothing will get done,
win
bro.
The Super Rugby.
Nothing will get done if it was us two.
I'll come over for the golf trips.
But the game against the Reds, you know, we've talked about the draw, but I want to talk about someone on the other side. Is Ben Volavola, is he the godfather for Ethan, your child, your son?
Yes, he's Ethan's godfather, and we're obviously together in France, and you know we've got a really close relationship with Ben, and obviously Ben's wife Christine. We're good family friends, and obviously he's Milan. They're in Brisbane now, but
yeah,
Benny's doing really well at the Reds, and I'm happy for him.
Yeah, it's just his impact. I don't know if it's getting talked about enough. His impact off the bench. You know, when he came on against Minor Pacifica, midfield scrum. You know, he goes right then and ices sort of the game with a nice crisp pass. Like he looks like he's moving really well. He did the same against, I think it was the Blues, to take it into Super Point, where when he came on, he changed the course of the game through wanting to attack. You know, his second touches, being able to, like, his timing and everything just seems to be so smooth for an old bull. Like, how have you seen his impact off the bench for them?
One thing, and you're right, like I just want to echo what you said about doesn't get talked about a lot, Benny. Benny's, I would say, the most underrated player in the competition in terms of when he comes off the bench, just the impact he has, that old head about him. And you see it, he doesn't do too much, but when he does, it's like, boom, you know, he does the simple stuff. He can read. One thing playing with Benny and spending time with him, you know, in the past and on the rugby field, he's always two steps ahead, and the confidence he has on him, and nothing phases Ben. Like, I know him on a personal note. Nothing phases him. Like, we'd lose a game and we're doing, he's just like, sweet, next job. You know what I mean? Like, just to have him, and he's going to be key for them tonight. I don't think people do their homework on Ben, you know? So when he comes on, and when he does come on, and Les Kiss, I think does really well with this is he brings them on at that time where you're fatigued, concentration goes out the window. Then you got someone like him who's just sharp, passes when he needs to pass. Like you said, he did that against Moana. When he came on, I knew they were going to score off this. And all it was fake short pass and then any dummies. And he's really good. He's really deceptive with his ball playing skills and his ability. So he's going to be a big threat to the Drua lads tonight when he comes on. And again, he knows a lot of the Drua boys. He's obviously Fijian. He's Fiji international. And you know, he's one bloke I wouldn't mind having come over to the Drua and bring experience as well. That's just me speaking.
But, well, I was thinking that. Is he someone that you would target, you know, to be able to bring him over as a ball player to help out with, like, you know, Arambitu and Armstrong Ravula?
I'm sure that the conversations are having there with the senior squad coaches. I've been kicked out of them now, so I'm never in them. they've kicked me out of all those management meetings. But definitely his name's been thrown around and hopefully, you know, something comes about. For me, just his experience with our young playmakers, because you think about it here, we've got Kemu and Isaiah, and they're only one injury away, and we're like, you know, and then obviously you've got Rabitu who can play there, and Tuindraki, some of Vondre, but they're more moulding themselves into that 15 and 13 role. So, man, with someone like that here, I think it'd be a great asset for the backs as well, because he's really good in terms of off-the-field stuff with his homework and analysis, which serves him well. And obviously, you see that on the rugby field.
Well, perfect, mate. Nems, it's always a pleasure, my friend. You do look relaxed. You look good. And hopefully we get to see you again next week in Fiji, or have you got another business trip planned? No public holiday next week?
No, I'm actually working next week. Well, it's the end of the season for us, so we'll have a lot of reviews, and I'm sure I'll probably get thrown under the bus somewhere here and there next week. But I'll let you know, boys. I'll always have a story for you next week to get you boys up.
You know what he talks about, like the environment, you know, for the head coach, he got to know the environment. It's like, oh, am I part of that environment? Am I still part of your future plans?
Boys, I could be sitting in front of you next Friday going, boys, one of my has to be laid to rest.
Nah, mate, you're the king over there, my friend. You ain't going anywhere. But always good to check in with you, brother. Take care. More there.
To easy, brother.
All right, boys. See ya.
Smoke. You better lock it up. You better lock it up. You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up. Smoke.
Yes, it's time for our lock and smoke, where we will be picking teams over the weekend in both league and union. One will be a favourite. One will be a smoky. And
smoky.
We keep a score at the end of the year. The loser has to buy the winner a full course meal. And I'm winning 12 points to 9. Sammy.
Mate.
Get your lock in. Where's your lock
my
in?
My lock, you know, I'm going Crusaders versus the Canes. That's a tough one. That's locked in. I think they're just going to... Canes resting players. Crusaders at home trying to keep the legacy alive. Rod Penny's last home game there in their regular season. So... I'm going the Crusaders lock.
All right, my lock-in will be... No, I'm going Sharks versus Manly. Let's go, lock it in.
Yeah, who? Sharks.
Sharks.
Sharks, okay, lock that
no,
one in.
No, I don't think Homole will be
I reckon
still
he's
sore.
Out. I reckon he's out. Dolgola's out.
It's just a hard place to play in Cronulla on a Friday evening.
Ooh,
it's wet.
It's wet.
Have fun, boys. Have fun.
All right, smoke.
Give us a smoky.
Oh, would the Eels be a smoky against the Knights?
Dylan Brown, KP, got a fine, so he'll be playing. Yeah, Eels would be the smoky.
I'll go the Eels in that one, smoky.
Smoke!
Yeah, the Eels, okay.
In Newcastle as well.
Where's a smoky in these two teams?
Come
these
on, bro.
Two
I've gone the Moana Pacifica a couple of times. Come on, bro.
Who's the Pacifica playing?
They're playing the Brumbies. Brumbies are trying to play for a home semi to home quarter. So
nah, I'm
they're
not
desperate.
Doing not doing that.
Yeah. Have a heart.
Draw to beat the Reds.
Oh, that's a smoky. Yep.
Smoke.
Reds have already locked up sixth spot.
Wrap
yeah,
us up,
there
Sammy.
It is. That's us done. Venetian Footy Friday. Car kit there. Make sure you tell your mates about our Monday show as well so you can tune in on Monday. Just search Venetian Footy wherever you get your podcasts or on the ABC Pacific website.
And make sure you join us on Monday. We have a very special guest. And... it's
PNG.
A good one.
For PNG all you PNG legend. Lovers out there, this is the one for
first
you.
Second generation PNG Kumul ever.
Yes.
This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.